to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How's everyone doing? I hope everyone is doing well, staying healthy and happy. I have author Polly Campbell talking about her book, You Recharged, as my guest today. And I just finished her book this morning, which I loved, and she's going to join me in just a few minutes. Something exciting. So in a couple of weeks, on September 29th, I was invited to be the local author in a ribbon-cutting ceremony of a new Barnes & Noble bookstore opening here in Coral Springs, Florida. And I'm also going to do a book signing of my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And I think the local newspaper, the Sun Sentinel, will be there. I don't have all the details yet, and I'll share more as I get more information. But that was really exciting, and I was thrilled to be asked. It was quite a nice surprise to get in my inbox last week to be asked to be the local author to do the ribbon cutting. So that's fun. For those of you new to my show or just tuning in, I am also an author, and my book, Postcards to the Universe, launched at the end of 2019. And here's an excerpt from a reviewer to give you an idea on my book. So I'm quoting this. Postcards to the Universe is a beautiful tribute to the power of the mind. Melissa Caprio clearly captures the steps to manifesting that anyone can follow. The book is a primer for manifestors just getting started and a great refresher course for veteran manifestors. Using her passion for photography, Caprio takes manifesting to the next step with the physical postcards. She teaches her readers to create powerful. So that was a really great review. So there are 30 manifesting stories in my book, along with mine, and they're photographs that I took of the contributors' postcards. I include writing exercises to help you get clear on what you want to manifest, and a toolbox full of fun exercises on how to manifest love, money, health, career, and so much more. If you're interested in doing inner work exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformations and seeing their postcards of inspiration and manifesting, please go to your favorite bookstore and purchase a copy. And if you're in town in Coral Springs, Florida, on the 29th, stop by Barnes and Noble. Okay, I'll share more about that as I get it, the information. Each week, for those of you who listen to me on a regular basis, know I share a magic money message. And it's an image of a manifesting postcard that I photograph with an affirmation that I like to focus on for that week. I tap into the energy of that affirmation and keep repeating it to myself to increase its power to become a new belief that I incorporate into my life. I post them on Mondays, and this week's affirmation is, "My life's way is through art." My whole life is surrounded by my art. My photography, my writing, my home, even the way I do this radio show is tapping into my creativity and living my life in an artful way. It's funny because when Polly, my guest, comes on in just a minute, and on her book, You Recharge, she talks about living your life with a sense of purpose. And for me, that's through my art or my creativity. That is always, at the end of the day, what sustains me, gives me a feeling of accomplishment. I feel like I'm contributing something to the world. But even more than that, I feel I contribute something to myself. And when I do that, I meet the world as a better, kinder person. It's an authentic expression of my soul's calling. It's my blood, sweat, and tears, and the DNA that weaves my life together, which not only includes the beautiful moments, but the heartbreaking ones too. And in Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way, which is a book I have read many times, she says, number one, creativity is the natural order of life. Life is energy, pure creative energy. Two, there's an underlining, indwelling creative force infusing all of life, including ourselves. Three, when we open ourselves to our creativity, we open ourselves to the Creator's creativity within us and our lives. Four, we are ourselves creations, and we in turn are meant to continue creativity by being creative ourselves. There's so many more, but I just picked a few. what she says really resonates with me as an artist. And not everything I create is aesthetically beautiful. That isn't what art is for me, and it isn't perfect. If you could see my trash bin, it's usually full. And that includes the trash bin in my art room full of papers and photographs that I don't like, in the folders on my computers, and in my mind of thrown away ideas and thoughts. What I love about art so much is that it's always a work in progress. Just like me, I am always a work in progress. If you want to see my Magic Monday message postcards with their affirmations, you can go see them on my website, Postcards to the Universe. I share them each week, or any of my social media platforms. Just type in Postcards to the Universe and you will find me. And if you want my help to make a manifesting postcard, just reach out to me and I would love to help you. Okay, so next week, I have author Jenny Block with her latest book, which is titled Be That Unicorn, Find Your Magic, Live Your Truth, and Share Your Shine. Being a unicorn means being the magnetic person that everyone in the room is drawn to. It means being honest and true to yourself every day, no matter what. When you're really, really good at being yourself, you'll make other people feel really, really good about themselves too. And being that unicorn, Jenny Block, the author of several bestsellers for women, shows you how to stop putting yourself down and start finding your magic. So join me next week to hear her. Okay, to get to my amazing guest today, Polly Campbell is an established author, writer, podcaster, speaker, and media personality who attracts a broad audience of mothers, boomers, writers, and people who aspire to live healthier, more engaged lives. She connects with her audience through her weekly podcast, bi-monthly newsletter, blog posts for Psychology Today, articles published in global print and online publications, personal blog posts, and regular television appearances, speeches, and workshops. In her latest book, You Recharged, How to Beat Fatigue Mostly, Amp Up Your Energy Usually, and Enjoy Life Again Always, she will help you discover the small but meaningful ways you can feel happier, healthier, and more alive no matter what's going on around you. Learn the approaches, practices, and self-care strategies that will help ignite your essential energy and vitality so you can stop feeling stuck, bored, and burnt out. And for more information on Polly, you can go to her website, pollycampbell.com. That's pollycampbell.com. Welcome, Polly. Thanks so much for being here with me today.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm fired up to be here.
Good. I'm excited. So I'm going to let you go right in. So why don't you share a little bit about who you are, your background, and what brought you to write this book, You Recharged?
Oh, well, my name is Polly, and I'm a middle-aged mother. I'm married. I work full-time. I'm frantic most of the time. You know, all those things. I'm living the big life, right? I have the cats and the dogs and the whole thing. I live in the suburbs. And a couple of years ago, I was finding myself getting up. Actually, it was 3 years ago. I was finding myself getting up in the morning and sitting on the edge of the bed and counting the hours until I could go back to bed. And I thought, this is not where I want to be, right? On paper, I have this really dynamic life. I'm married to a very kind person. I have a healthy daughter. I have a comfortable house. I have my so-called dream job, right? I'm self-employed as a writer. And yet I was getting up in the morning and wanting to go back to sleep. And I thought, I felt a little embarrassed by that. I felt ashamed by that. Like, what is the deal? And in that process of learning what was going on, this book emerged, and I found these ideas and strategies to revitalize and recharge my life. And I just started writing about the process and in the hopes that other people who are feeling stuck or burned out might find value in that too.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, especially right now, would find a lot of value in that, especially this last, you know, year and a half. Before we know it, we're going to be 2 years of dealing with, you know, what we've been dealing with, the isolation and everything. And in your book, because I like to read, I love having authors on, you know, I'm such a book person. I've always been since I was a little kid. I mean, I always have a book going, right? Always. So what I try to start the book on Monday before the Wednesday show. So it's fresh in my mind, you know, so I finish it by the morning. And in your book, you make a distinction about about talking about this, about the difference between if you're lethargic or if it's, you know, is it that you're just burnt out and fatigue? If it's you're depressed, are you just feeling stuck? And that there is a difference. So why don't you share a little bit more about that? Because some of us may think we're depressed, but we're not. We're just stuck.
Absolutely. And I didn't know for myself, right? And neither one are right or wrong, but they can be handled differently. And depression is, and there are reasons. Depression is a chemical imbalance often in our brains that is a mental disorder that's highly treatable with counseling, with medication, with all sorts of methods. And being stuck might just feel like you're lethargic. You don't feel like you don't know what you want to do. So the distinction, the way I think of it and the way that the therapist I spoke with for the book told me is, if you wake up in the morning and you're interested and you're curious and you want to do something, but you feel stuck and you don't know what to do or how to get going, that's probably burnout or you're feeling stuck. If you wake up in the morning and you have no interest in anything, and that's a prevalent feeling over a few days or a couple of weeks, that's probably depression. And it's possible to have both. I mean, you know, often depression can be triggered by environmental challenges and concerns like COVID, right? Mm-hmm. But again, if there's any question, you know, talk to a doctor, talk to a therapist and say, hey, here are some of the thoughts I'm having. Here are some of the feelings. And if you ever feel like harming yourself or anything like that, reach out to a medical professional because they can help you through that. It is treatable. In my case, I realized there were things I wanted to still try in my life. I just didn't know how to get going and how to get out of my funk and reengage. And that's the process I had to go through.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people by middle age get burnt out, right? Because you sort of been doing the same thing for many years, maybe many decades, and you know, you get to a point in your life and you don't have that the same energy that you did in your 20s and that youth where your whole life is in front of you, right? So you're just like, okay, I've been doing this for a long time. Now what? Right? You don't feel that creative, like when I was talking about earlier in the show, that creative surge that's sustaining. So what do you say to those of us who are just feeling like, okay, we hit middle age mark, we're super burnt out. Like, okay, now, well, now what the heck do we do?
Well, first of all, yes. Hello. That's where I was too. You know, and I dealt with it by eating a lot of pizza for a while and sitting around in my sweats. And I thought, hey,
I could totally relate to the pizza. Pizza is my favorite thing in the world. And every time you mention pizza, I'm like, I totally get it. I totally get it. I'm in my pajamas. Pizza, Netflix. Yeah, love it.
See? Exactly. And I'm not about to give up the pizza. So my whole goal was, how can I recharge with the pizza?
Exactly.
I think that the important thing is to realize, first of all, cut yourself a break. Live with some self-awareness and step into that and say, okay, this is what I'm feeling. Don't judge that feeling, right? I was waking up married to this great guy and rolling over and saying, oh my God, I'm wondering if this is all there is, right? Is this it? Have I peaked at the age of 50?
Right.
And of course not. No, we haven't. But it takes some awareness to understand where we are. And there's a lot of research on this that shows that when we hit middle age, we have some grief, we have some sadness, because we're looking back and thinking, remember, I was going to make that $1 million and I was going to lose that 50 pounds. And I was, and look at me now, I'm 45, I'm 50 years old, and I haven't done those, and those things may never happen. Or I'm not going to have a child that I wanted to have or whatever. We start to compare where we are now to where we thought we'd be. And that can be deflating. Otherwise, we can sit there and say, oh, okay, this isn't what I was thinking when I was 25, right? But this is where I'm at now. And that can be good too. And so drop the comparison, tap into your self-awareness, understand whatever you're feeling is okay. And then we are freed up to start injecting our life, re-engaging with our lives in a new way for the next 50 years. And that's really what it was for me. What I've done has been great and enlivening. And I hit my comfort zone, and that comfort zone got way too comfortable and boring. right? I just kind of slowed down. I'm like, oh, no, I need to reengage with the next part of my life. And that's what You Recharged is about.
So when you were like feeling the way you were feeling, where you were like lethargic, and I know you talk about you have chronic illness that you've had your whole life since you were a child, which has also been a challenge, but you don't focus on that at all, which I thought was really interesting because that's not what this is about at all. And people with chronic illness can still do what you're talking about in your book.
Absolutely.
What was the push that you finally said, all right, you know, you say to yourself, like I say to myself, I don't know if you call yourself by name, but I call myself by name. Like, you know, Melissa, like, what am I going to do now? Like, I got to do something here. Was it just like the first spark?
Yeah. I was sitting there on the couch and I'd get up early in the morning and I'd sit there and dream about going back to bed. And then I got kind of sick of myself. I got kind of bored with myself. Like, well, no wonder I'm tired all the time because all I'm doing is saying how tired I am all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And the big thing was I wasn't having fun. And the way I think about fun, it isn't going off to buy shoes. It isn't doing fun things. It's being engaged in a way that's interesting to me, right? So I have this dream job. I've always wanted to be a writer, and now I'm being a writer, and I wasn't enjoying the job. And I had to sit back and think, huh, then I need to figure out what would be fun for me. And when you opened the show with this, you know, this creative postcard, that was it. The creative challenges were different because I'd learned a whole bunch of stuff, right? So for a long time, I wrote these magazine articles, and that was super hard and engaging. And then I got more familiar with it. And then I wrote books, and then I got more familiar. So I needed to raise the ante and challenge myself again to be imperfect and to explore and get curious about my life, whatever that is. And it led to a whole change in how I go out in the world and how I relate to the world and how I think about it. Once that happens, it changes everything we do.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to take our first break here. And when we come back, we're going to get even more in depth in the conversation. Stay tuned for You Recharge, Polly Campbell. Stay tuned. Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives. Welcome back. I have author Polly Campbell on talking about her book, You Recharged. So, Polly, I like what you said something, and I never heard this word before, so we're going to talk about it because you get into it when in the book, and I may pronounce it wrong, so please correct me. There's a Japanese word, and is it ikiga? Is that how you say it?
Uh-huh. Ikiga.
Okay. Ikiga. Okay. It's an intangible, and it loosely translates to our purpose. So can you go more into detail on ikiga and the meaning behind it and how you work that in your life? Because I thought that was so fascinating. And I love learning new things. So I wrote down that word in my calendar book so I don't forget it. So I have it now. I love it.
This makes a lot of sense to me, too. You know, I really love this notion, which is really the intersect of, it's loosely translated to mean the reason, the thing that gets you up in the morning, the thing that gets you going, right? In traditional teachings, it's really the intersect of the thing you're good at doing, the thing you like to do, that contributes to the world and conceivably could make you some money, right? So ideally, we are in each of those things. We're doing the thing we like to do, and we can get paid to do it, and it's serving a purpose for others on the planet. I mean, and that's the thing that really drives us forward. And, you know, I think what happens often is we overlook this. We think, well, I'm in a job that I hate, or I'm in a marriage that's not that interesting to me right now, or whatever, so there's no way I can live on purpose. And absolutely, you can live on purpose. Living on purpose and feeling the well-being and the life satisfaction that comes with that isn't about your job or your relationship. It's about how you express yourself throughout the day. And ikigai is part of that. Now, start with the thing that drives you. What gets you excited? And look at the patterns in your life to see. For instance, when I was feeling so low, and I've always wanted to be a writer, and I was looking at my own life and thinking, what's my purpose? I don't even like writing magazine articles anymore. So I've lost my purpose. And what I realized is, writing is just an expression of my purpose. What I am is a communicator. I like to inspire people. I like to do radio shows like yours. I like to write books. I like to have one-on-one time with my daughter where I'm talking with her. That all those things are an expression of my purpose. Now, I had managed to find some ways to get paid for some of that, but most of what really drives me is living close to those things that I enjoy and that I value and that I'm good at. So if you're out in the world, look at the patterns in your own life. If you're a retired teacher, look at the ways you're teaching your grandkids, or the ways you're, you know, teaching golf or volunteering at the organization, showing people new systems or whatever. And I bet you'll find your ikigai is being expressed in different ways as threads throughout your whole life. And then go in and align with that. Be more deliberate in staying close to those things, and you'll feel that.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, like you said, something that you're making money at. I mean, if you are, that's great, but that's not, because I know you even talked about something in your book, and you mentioned in your book about how you were forcing yourself to garden and that wasn't your thing and you didn't like it and you didn't want to do it and it didn't feel good. And you just kept telling yourself, well, I should be doing this. Right. And, but you found it in your cooking for yourself and your family. So it can flow in any area of your life.
I think it flows in all the areas of our life. I think it's already there for us. I think the challenge is we get so busy in our routine that we fail to notice, right? Life is what you notice. We need to slow down and take a deep breath. And yes, I hate gardening. And yet I have a garden. I have a yard, right? I have a yard. And I thought, I should. Well, the should-dos just wear us out. And instead of filling us with energy and helping us re-engage and recharge, when we are doing those should-dos, they drain us from our energy. Yeah. And they deplete us. And so I'm not doing that anymore. You know, there are certain – so when I do have something that is an essential job, like I have a child, there are essential parts of parenting that I take on, then I don't think of it as a should do. I think of it as an opportunity to nourish my kid, or even if it's an unpleasant situation or not something I want to do, it's an opportunity to live close to that value of in self-expression to be a parent. And so that way, the essentials don't seem so much like chores. They seem like opportunities to live closer to the things we value in our lives as individuals, not because we're told to, not because we're people pleasing, but because it's important to us and we have decided that.
Yeah. And you even talk about the should do's and the could, and I like the way you put it, because it's like there's an aversion when you feel like you should do something or somebody tells you you should do it, our natural defenses go up, right? And it's like almost like we want to like be defiant. Well, you're not going to tell me what I should do, or I don't have to, the shoulds. But when you change it to, well, could you do that, or you could do it, then the energy of it shifts, which is really like you can feel it when you're saying the sentences. And I hadn't really thought about it, you know, the way as in much depth that the way you talk about it in the book and shifting that word, just that word.
Just that word. And it's, I think it's essential. I mean, you know more about this, but it's essential for manifesting how we talk to ourselves, right? There's a ton of research from major universities that talk about the language we use to ourselves. So you can practice right now while you're listening to this and just notice how your body feels. For example, when somebody says, would you like this huge piece of chocolate cake? And you say, I can't eat chocolate cake because I'm trying to lose weight. That's a much different experience in your brain and your body than when you say, no, thank you, I don't eat chocolate cake. Because, right, when you say you don't do something, you're in charge. You're deliberately connecting and engaging with this life in a way that you choose. I don't eat chocolate cake today or ever or whatever it is for you. So when I was focused on getting my body healthier, for example, and yes, I live with rheumatoid arthritis, and so I need to manage my weight and do these other things that I wasn't doing very well of when I was in my slump. And I was thinking in terms of limitation. Well, I've got to cut out this, and I've got to cut out that, and I love pizza, so I'm not cutting that out. And every once in a while, I want a glass of wine and all these things, right? Hello. And so instead of saying those things, instead of saying, I must do this, I should do this, I've got to do this, I just said, oh, no, tonight I do not want a third piece of pizza, thank you. Right? Tonight I don't. Thank you.
Right.
And that doesn't mean tomorrow I can't. But when we shift how we talk to ourselves, then we're in charge and we're not. The universe isn't doing things to us. It's doing things with us. We align with that energy and it just feels better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did that. That's how I quit smoking, because I was a smoker and I loved to smoke. I didn't ever had any health problems with smoking. I loved it. There was nothing about it that I didn't like. And I wrote a whole blog about it. And actually it's my most popular blog about, because I was honest, but I just knew it wasn't good for me. So when I kept telling myself I shouldn't smoke, what would happen is I would want to smoke more, right? I would want to smoke more because I'm, So what I started to do was, well, you know what? When I made the decision that I was going to give it up, I didn't say forever. I said, I'm not going to smoke tomorrow. And that's how it started. And then it was today. I'm not going to smoke today. And then it just kept going. And I just kept going with it. And if I still, to this day, I still never say I'll never smoke again, because then all of a sudden I'm craving a cigarette. You know, so
you know,
it's like,
that's really how I started the recharge. When I was out on the couch in those early mornings feeling so low, I was just like, okay, what is the simplest, easiest thing I can do today to make me feel better right now? I wasn't looking 2 years from now or 10 years. I was looking in this moment. What is the simplest, easiest thing? So the first day, the simplest, easy thing was to eat one extra vegetable. Right. Then because it nourished my body and it helped me feel a little better and helped me mentally realize, oh, yeah, I can eat one extra vegetable and feel better about myself. You know, the simplest, easiest thing is I could write an essay that I want to write, whether I publish it or not. I can create just for the sake of creating, God. I started doing the simplest, easiest thing and the fun returned, and I was doing it without any income stream. I was also doing my regular job. But pretty soon, when you open yourself up and you re-engage that energy, you start to see other opportunities all over the place that can be your ikigai for your business or your family or whatever it is, right? Because that's how we work. When we begin to revitalize, it becomes sustainable. We put better energy out, so better energy comes back to us, and it becomes a cyclical thing that just builds and infuses everything we do. But I start with the simple stuff. I'm very practical. What's going to get me off the couch right now? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but right now, how can I get more activity in my life? And I started, 20 minutes a day, I can get some movement. I don't even call it exercise because I hate exercise. But movement, right? I can walk the dog or whatever. Simplest, easiest thing.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the things we say to ourselves, and you even mentioned something that people say, and we always say when we want something, oh, I can't afford it. That's something we say very often. And I'm guilty of it too. And I'm very aware of it. So what I say now, I ask myself a question, do I want to afford it? And it changes the whole energy of it. Do I want to afford
Absolutely.
It? Maybe yes. If I do, I do. And if I don't, then no, it's not for me. But it changes that negativity and I can't afford it, which is words we want to stay away from because that keeps us at a low vibe. And you're talking like yep. I talk about raising your vibration. And I love in you, you have this whole thing on the if then chapter, and that kind of falls yep. under the what you were talking about, eating greens. Because you were saying yes. you're trying to make it as easily as possible. So share a little bit about if then, what the if then is.
Yeah. There's lots of research that says if we anticipate the obstacles in advance of our goal, then they don't become so strong. They're not as hard to deal with. So one of the things I needed to do is I wanted to nourish my body. I wanted to nourish my soul, my creative brain. So I knew I needed more movement in my life. So I just put my workout clothes out on my dresser before I went to bed. And if I saw my workout clothes on the dresser, then that was a day I would work out. I never had to think about it. I had to take the thinking out of it. If it was a weekday, I had a green smoothie for breakfast. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't, you know, I'm one of those people that I have a hard time picking out what I'm going to wear. Like, should I go with this or should I go? I needed to make, and the other thing that happens is we make thousands of decisions a day, and that depletes our energy, our mental energy, our emotional energy, our physical energy. So I needed to make a priority and keep and simplify the things I absolutely wanted to do. If it's a Monday and I see my workout clothes on the dresser, then I work out. I never thought about it, and I still don't think about it. It became that easy. And after a while, it becomes a habit. When you start, I didn't ever focus on what I was releasing. I focused on only what I was bringing in. And what happened then, if I'm eating a gigantic salad before I have the pizza, then I automatically am going to eat less pizza. If I'm going to fill up my day with some creative work that's inspiring to me, then I'm going to have more energy for the other work that I need to do because of my job responsibilities. So I just never thought in terms of cut this to do this. I always thought, no, I'm going to add in the stuff that infuses me with energy, and the other stuff will naturally drop away or fit into a place that adds to the whole experience.
Yeah. You really lay it out easily. And it made me think because you were talking about how we need 10 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. And I'm a big vegetable fruit person, but I'm like 10. And I love the way you say that though, because then you say you wash everything, you get everything packaged, all your greens, you have it all put together. So if that's done, then you're going to eat them. Then they're there and accessible to you. And I'm like, I am going to do that. I am taking that if then with the greens, because sometimes I'll be too tired at night and I'm like, I don't want to saute a broccoli. You know what I mean? Like, and I'll just grab something
quick.
Absolutely. So that is really
helpful.
That,
you know, I'd be working at my desk and I'd realize too late that I was hungry and I'd go out and grab whatever's in the fridge. Well, now whatever's in the fridge is my smoothie that I prepared the night before, and all I have to do is blend it up or whatever it is, you know. And it's not 100%, but again, I'm not going for I need to do this every day for the rest of my life. No. I'm going for I need to do it today, or I'd like to do it today. Right.
Because then it's sustainable, because when it's something that you, like we said earlier, you have to do for the rest of your life, you automatically become resistant to it, you know. So yeah, if it's something like I want to do today, you feel like, oh, I can do that today. I got that covered today, right? That's a day at a time. And I think that's why people who are in recovery talk about AA, because all they do is take a day at a time, right? Or one of those recovery programs. It's a day at a time. You don't have to worry about the rest of your life, just today. And I realized that I do the if then in the mornings. For the first 2 hours in the morning that I get up, I turn my phone on do not disturb, and I don't check the news or anything. I don't get online or do anything. It's non-negotiable. And that's when I do my meditations, whatever I'm doing. The stretching, the journaling, it changes for me all the time. But I don't think about it anymore because it's such a habit. Wake up, phone goes on do not disturb.
Yep.
Because Yeah, so let's take our break here, because you talk about interruptions, and I thought that was really important, but we're at the next break time, so let's do that right now before we get into that. Stay tuned, guys. We got lots more to share. Welcome back. I have author Polly Campbell on with her book, You Recharged. So Polly, you were talking, or I was talking, and then you were talking about, you mentioned something about interruptions and how they drain our physical and mental resources. And that made me think of that because like I said, I do the if then, if I turn my phone off, then I'm not going to be interrupted, right? Basically, you know, and I thought, I didn't know that it takes 20, you said 23 minutes and 15 seconds to get back to what we're doing when we're interrupted.
Right. And during COVID, when my husband and my daughter are both at home and I'm a writer, I have measured. I've lost hours. But we all have, right? And yes, because what it does, even if it's a positive interruption, mm-hmm. one we welcome, mm-hmm. is it takes our emotional, mental, and physical energy to shift that. And then mm-hmm. we have to go back and remember what we were doing before and then start again. So yes, mm-hmm. those kind of interruptions are really depleting. And often the things we're interrupted for are the things that we don't find useful or restorative. For example, mm-hmm. me talking about myself, if I'm having a challenge writing, I want to get on Facebook. And that is mm-hmm. not restorative for me. That just makes it easier never to write again, right? Or, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. So be deliberate. Choose your interruptions if you're going to have them. If my daughter storms in here, which could happen at any point, I'm happy to work with my daughter. But if I'm just restless, I want to do something that's restorative, pet my animal or go for a walk or take a shower. I don't want to do something that's going to take more energy from me because the interruptions take so much and really take out of our focus and our ability to give attention to the things that are more satisfying for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I'm writing, I set my phone to do not disturb too, because even text messages, that ding, yeah. you know what I mean? I find very distracting. And even when I try to tell myself, well, I'm in the middle of something, I'll just look at it later, I don't always do that. And then I look at it and now I've just been interrupted, right? I might not respond until later, but it doesn't matter. It hit that flow that I had going on. So yeah. So I really resonated with that. And I'm like, good. Now I don't feel guilty for the, you know, people. Yeah. And the people are like, oh, I called you and your phone went right to voicemail. Well, I had it off. So there's a reason for that. Yeah. I always say a phone call is a request, not a demand. Cause my dad's always like, oh, the phone's ringing. Answer the phone. I'm like, Dad, the phone is a request, not a demand. I can get back to somebody. I don't need to do it right now.
Yeah.
So I love that you say that because I don't think many of us realize how distracted and how many things are pulling at our energy with all the notifications from social media too. I don't have any of those on. I turn those off.
I turn mine off too. And often mm-hmm. the things that are pulling at our attention are not the mm-hmm. things we would give our attention to at that moment. You know, I'm not saying never to return the mm-hmm. call or whatever, but I work in 20-minute increments. I turn off like you for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever I'm doing. And here's the thing that happens. When we do that, whatever it is for you, 10 minutes or 20 minutes or a half hour, whatever it is, whether you're making dinner or spending quality time with your kid or working or mowing the lawn, whatever it is for you, mm-hmm. if you give 100% focus to that moment, you are going to feel recharged because you're going to be invigorated by the activity. You're going to feel, you're going to get that small win, which is the feeling we get whenever we accomplish and make incremental progress towards mm-hmm. something. When that happens, we get this release of dopamine, which not only does it make us feel good because it's part of our reward system, but it also boosts our motivation. So when you allow yourself focused time for whatever time period it is enough to accomplish something that's important to you, then you are more motivated to do whatever comes next. And you don't even have to think about it. You get the satisfaction of completing something, but you also feel better about things going forward.
Yeah. And I like in the book that at the end, you always ask us questions. I love that. I do that at the end of my book too. I like that because it makes you think, right? That's how you, sometimes you don't know what you're thinking unless you ask yourself the question. So I like that you have that laid out in the book. And for those listening who maybe are thinking, okay, well, I don't know what my purpose is, or I don't know what I want to do. You have some questions in the book, like you ask, what would you love to be doing that you aren't doing now? Something as simple as that, or just something as what is fun for you? So have you found that using those questions worked really well in your life? Is that how you started to discover certain things that you wanted to do and give your time to?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when I was in my slump, I asked myself this, what would you do differently? You have this so-called ideal life that you've created and yet you're dissatisfied. So what would you do? What would make you more? What are you missing? You know, in the beginning, go to the energy drains. Where are you feeling lack? And it's okay to acknowledge that. You don't have to judge yourself for that. When I looked at my physical health and I realized I was overweight, I didn't sit there and say, oh, you're fat, you're dumb. I just sat there and said, oh, I would like to be healthier than I am, right? That's what I would like. When you begin asking yourself questions, your brain and body go into overdrive trying to find the answers. That is how we're wired. So the quality of the questions you ask determine the quality of your life. So if you ask, why is my life so bad? You're going to get lots of reasons why your life is so bad. But if you ask the question, what can I do today to feel better? You're going to get answers to that too. And then pick the simplest, easiest one and just follow that for a day or two and see what happens.
And yeah, I like that.
That will pull you where you need to go. You know, it doesn't have to be a judgmental or angry process. It can be simply acknowledging, oh, today I'm right here and that doesn't feel so good today. So what can I do today where I feel a little better by lunchtime? Or what can I put in my body that's going to make me feel good by 2 o'clock today? You know, and then follow the answer and see when you're doing it, how you feel and what comes from that.
Yeah. And you said that you, in the book, you said you lost 40 pounds and you weren't even dieting. You just added some healthier options and decided to move more. And that was it. You lost 40 pounds in a year.
More.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I did. And I decided to nourish my body with the right kinds of foods, as well as the junk that I like. You know, I'm not, like I said, this isn't about changing everything in my life. But I started eating more fruits and vegetables. I started filling up mentally and physically on the stuff that would nourish my body and my soul.
And that's
when you nourish yourself. Yes. Mm-hmm. That changed everything in small, tiny steps. That changed everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk about also about adversity, because adversity hits us all and that's when we get the shock, you know, something bad happens. So, but you have you talk also about an emotional emergency kit. Your bounce back kit when adversity hits. Why don't you share a little bit about what that is? I like that a lot.
Well, you know, we all have these emergency, in case of emergency, right? In case of hurricane, and we have flashlights and canned food and all of that stuff in there. We need that psychologically too. We need to give ourselves a break because come on, the bad stuff is going to come down. We've been in a challenging time now. And so we need to make sure we have the tools available to help us maintain and build our resilience as we go. And one of those is, you know, the things that make us feel comfortable, you know, to make us feel safe, like noticing our emotion and recognizing that we're not going to be crushed by it, you know, for example, and labeling the emotion. Because I think often we think in terms of bad or good, right or wrong, and it's never about that. It's all of it. we get all of it, right? We need to have some relaxation responses so we can learn how to relax when we're under pressure. The pressure is going to come. If you're going to freak out, you're going to have fewer resources and less physical energy to deal with it. So you need to know how to relax, whether it's meditation, which I do in the mornings, like you do, deep breaths, a walk around the neighborhood, whatever that is for you. Find a strategy that will help you figure out what happened without inflating it. So not everything is the end of the world. You need to get clear about what the circumstances are so you can respond to them in a way that is deliberate and productive instead of, oh, everyone's going to die, or this is the worst thing that ever happened, or I can't believe this has happened to me. of course it's happening, but you can deal with that. So pause long enough and relax yourself so you can figure out what's going on. And that throws you into a problem, a more creative problem-solving strategy. Mm-hmm. And think about these things when they're coming down. There are tools like meditation, you know, evaluation, circumstantial evaluation to understand what's happening, labeling your emotions so you don't freak out. There are all sorts of strategies in the book and really things you can do in the moment to diffuse the situation so you can respond rather than react.
Yeah, and you said something about 90 seconds. If we just take 90 seconds when something, you know, somebody like aggravates us or pisses us off or, you know, and to before we react.
I do this all day long. I always do this when I'm driving.
Yeah, right. Audiobooks have saved me from driving, I have to say. Audiobooks are like, I love audiobooks. Yeah. Yeah, that you said that if we don't react in the first 90 seconds, we're more likely to come at something much calmer. It gives our mind a chance to sort of rationalize instead of just react right away, you know?
Right. We get an emotional, we get a cue, a trigger that sends our body into a physical reaction. That's the emotion. And then the physical reaction prompts the feeling in us. So something happens, our body flares up and we get hot. Mm-hmm. And that's when we feel angry and we act angry. Well, that trigger and emotional reaction changes within 90 seconds. So if when you feel all that energy coming on, you can just stand there or sit there and say, oh, here comes the flood. Here comes the emotion. Here comes my physical body ramping up. Just sit in that. Then within 90 seconds, that will diffuse and change. And then you may still have to respond and manage whatever the situation is. But it won't be coming at such a extreme, intense place because the emotion will have moved on so that you have more mental clarity to manage.
Yeah, I love that. So what are some of your, you know, everyday self-care practices? Because you talk about putting in self-care practices. So what are some of your non-negotiables that you do every day?
Well, I've heard you talk about the same. I have a morning ritual. You know, I think it's really important, whatever that is. I get up, I start this day in the same way. Each that means quiet time, whether that's meditation or sitting quietly. I do a gratitude practice at that point because I think we are surrounded by good and bad things that happen all the time, but often we focus only on the bad things, and I want to make sure I notice it all, right? Mm-hmm. And then I do a study. I want to read. I want to surround myself by inspiration. So I read something I want to learn, or I listen to a podcast like yours, or I do something that's going to elevate my experience. I also practice something in the evening called Tomorrow Optimism, and when I go to bed, I focus on one thing that I'm looking forward to in the day ahead. Research shows that when we identify with something we're looking forward to, we begin building optimism, which now we know, science has told us, that optimism is more of a behavior than a quality. So I can behave my way into optimism by saying when bad stuff is happening, by saying, oh, this is not what I wanted, but it's something I can find my way through. I'm going to learn about this and make it as good as I can. That sets me up to find the people or the resources I need to change the outcome. Now, it might not might not be great, but it's going to be better than if I'm sitting there getting hit by life. So when I go to bed at night, I look forward to the day. I find something. This is a good clue. If you have nothing you're looking forward to the next day, then you need to create something that you can look forward to each day, whether it's a petting the dog or going to a nice restaurant or being, you know, writing a project you wanted to write, whatever it is, it can be a 2-minute thing, but find something to look forward to.
Ooh, I love that. That's a really good thing to do. Because I do, I used to do the artist pages from The Artist Way. I did those for a long time. And then, so now I changed. I always change every few months about my morning thing. And I used to do the gratitude journal then. But before I go to bed, I usually go to bed with a book. And I'll say the 5 things in my mind that I was grateful for the day before I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. But I really like this, adding the something to look forward to. for the next day to that thought, you know, so something to get you excited to wake up for, even if it's the way, you know, your coffee in the morning. I mean, I have a whole ritual about the way I make my coffee, you know, it's got whipped cream, it's got cinnamon, it's got all the good stuff. Like, it is like my thing, my coffee in the morning. So,
right? Great.
Yeah. Well, is there anything that you want to leave us with, Polly? It's just been so great talking to you today and getting so much from your book, You Recharge. Anything you want us to know before we wrap up?
Well, thank you. I've loved being here. And I want people to know, if I can do this stuff, anyone can. Really, let me tell you what. And I do think it's these incremental steps, right? The simplest, easy thing. Pick something when you stop listening to the show today that is going to elevate, not tomorrow or 2 weeks from now, but right now. If you want to feel healthy in your body, walk out and eat a carrot or go for a walk. And then celebrate that, because it's the small things in life, it's the little things throughout our days that lead to the great, big, fantastic life, right? We can do that, do it the little things. And you're going to feel better. And if you feel better now, that's going to make the next 5 minutes better, and it will roll over on itself and snowball until you're living this great big life that's wonderful. And that's what I'm working on.
Thank you. Thanks, Polly, for being here. And check out Polly Campbell and her work at pollycampbell.com. And thanks for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.